Well, in all honesty, this is one of these radio programs I'm producing that I wonder how many people will actually have an opportunity to hear as we are watching Hurricane Milton approaching Florida at the time of this recording.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, as I'm making this recording, it is Wednesday at the time of producing, and we are watching the Hurricane Milton approaching Florida. And so I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't even know if this program will air on WRMI on Thursday night or not, or if there'll be sufficient damage at their transmission site to even be able to broadcast on Friday or even the days after. We'll know in the next day or so. And so today, I'm going to share some stories and a lot of thoughts that have been going through my mind of late that may be leading me to make some changes in what we do here at Truth to Ponder. I've been wrestling with something for a number of months. I was actually sharing in an email correspondence with an individual some of the things that God has put in my heart over the last 6 months. Honestly, I sometimes just get flat tired. I mean, really, I really do. I get tired of just doing the news and giving you the bad news and the politics. And what is it worth? There's so many voices that can give you news stories and even others that can also provide analysis to those stories. But I'm recognizing what I need to be doing is getting away from being, quote, your daily newscaster and prostigator and, you know, information bearer or bad news bearer, whatever you want to call it. There's enough out there to find easy. I'll tell you what's really on my mind. And I'm thinking with this hurricane, there's some stories out there that I do want to share, and things like looking at the prior hurricane, Helene, and its aftermath, and some of the very disturbing stories, and some of the stories that I doubt their veracity, to be quite honest. There's just a lot in my mind. What purpose does this radio program provide in its current form? I'm being very honest with you here. What purpose does it help you? Is it something you need? Is there something that is missing? And I'm really looking at what direction God would take this program. And maybe we should make a transition. And I'm thinking if there's going to be a transition with this program, it'll be after the election here in the United States in November. I can remember and let me tell you where my mind is at and see if this helps. 4 years ago on this very radio program, at this same time of the year, I kept telling everybody, do not take the election for granted. No, Trump does not have it in the bag. I heard all of this stuff. Hey, look at his rallies. You know, Kamala gets five. Well, back then it was, you know, Biden's getting 12 people to show up and they stand in big circles outdoors. And then he rambles for 5 minutes and leaves, if he even goes anywhere. And look at those Trump rallies. People are showing up in spite of COVID. Yeah, they're out there fighting it. And the numbers are in our favor. We can't lose. And I kept saying, don't think that. I suspected a rat in the cheese house early on. And I looked at how the pandemic at that time was being manipulated and used to change election law unconstitutionally and illegally, and I still stand by that to this day. For example, Georgia made changes in the way voting was done in 2020. And according to the Constitution of the state of Georgia and also the federal Constitution, those changes can only be authorized by the state legislature, not the governor, not the lieutenant governor, not some secretary of state, not some judge. Nobody has the authority to change election law except the legislature. Yet some of these idiot judges that have never read the Constitution or choose to ignore it allowed these changes to take place in the state of Georgia. And they were illegal. They are unconstitutional. And I really believe that the votes in Georgia should never have been counted for anything until it was put back correctly. And that means the two Senate races. That means presidential candidates. Every election in Georgia was tainted by the fact that the law was broken by willing partners like Ratburger, that's what I call him, Raffensperger, and Kemp at that time, just allowing things to be changed. The state legislature was not invoked. And that is what the Constitution in Georgia clearly demanded. The same thing happened in Pennsylvania. The same thing happened in Michigan. The same thing happened all over. Laws were broken. The Constitution violated. And the slimy judges allowed it to happen, even though they don't even have the constitutional authority to make the changes. The Constitution is clear. But, you know, sorry, the Constitution doesn't mean anything anymore when you have leftist lunatics in charge of many of the election processes in the United States. So I warned you 4 years ago, do not think that it's a done deal. Do not think there's going to be a big red wave. Do not think any of the above. And you saw the result. You saw the result 4 years ago. Now, it is my prayer today, after what we have seen for the last 3.5 years, a little more than that now, with the Biden-Harris administration and all of their garbage and their insanity and their sickness and their evil, I'm telling you, I really believe that it was, I'm trying to remember who said it, God gives wicked rulers to wicked people. And I think that is what's happened here in the United States. It's happened all over the world. Wicked people, ungodly people, people that have walked away, turned their back on God, rejected him, are literally paying a price. I really believe that Joe Biden is a curse upon the American people. And I believe if Kamala Harris wins, she is no more than a curse on the American people for turning their back on God. She's nothing but a Jezebel spirit. I'm sorry, but she is. She's got a Jezebel spirit all about her. She's also a liar. And you got Joe Biden currently right now, who is a very corrupt individual, a liar. I believe a thief. I believe they're hiding all the millions that they've stolen from Ukraine and other places and government contracts and selling you out. Their day of reckoning will come. And every time I see a good Catholic, you know, like a Nancy Pelosi or a Joe Biden and others talk about a woman's right to choose, I remind them, you good Catholic, do you remember in the Bible when John the Baptist was still in the womb of his mother, and when his mother came into the presence of Mary, who was also with child, carrying Jesus, the Bible records that John leapt for joy in his mother's womb. Let me say that again. The Bible records that John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb in the presence of Jesus. So when these sickos think that abortion is health care, they're demonically influenced, possessed, and they're simply wrong. They're believing in infanticide, and they're believing in pagan baby killing is what they're really believing in. I mean, the god Moloch said, if you sacrifice a firstborn infant to me, you'll have a prosperous life. Things will go well with you and your career, and you'll be happy. Just sacrifice and kill that firstborn. That's all abortion is today. You know, I have a half-sister. She passed away a number of years ago. And she's younger than I am. And I never knew her until later in life when I did an adoption search. So she's a half-sister. And she, in terms of her politics, was about as far left on the spectrum as you could get. And she had no qualm about abortion or any of it. She thought it was all good, right, and natural until she met me. And my late wife and I were there to help her out when there was some issues in her life, financially and otherwise. And her life changed on a dime. Sadly, her children are about as leftist lunatic fringe as you can get. They were raised in California. And the one niece, I haven't talked to her in years. I had to cut her off. She's become so vile. They headed off to Las Vegas because the economy in California had gotten so rotten. So they're going to bring their bad voting habits wherever they go. They're going to bring all of it with them, and they think abortion is just birth control. It's normal. It's woman's health care. And everybody else should pay for it. I mean, this is the kind of sickness we're dealing with. And so I look at where we are today. An election coming up less than a month now. Less than a month. We have these hurricanes causing damage, and you know there's still going to be recovery for years from Helene. Years. Some places may never fully recover. And we've learned again something that I've known for 15 years firsthand, and even before that, kind of secondhand. FEMA is about as worthless of an agency as any government agency ever was and ever will be. You know, I know people in North Carolina. I know what's going on. FEMA is a joke. It's a disaster. I really believe FEMA could fire 90% of their useless employees and do a better job. They're just a bunch of government bureaucrats that show up not knowing what your town is like, what your town needs. They try to tell you what to do. Too many stories are coming out about, you know, the FEMA guys come to town and they take all the hotel rooms that are really needed for the victims. And all they want to do is sit around and sign you up for some government program. And they figure that all we need to do is advertise it on the television. Yeah, like we all have electricity and working phones. They don't. FEMA is clueless. And I can remember after doing a major drill with them back in 2010, I said to myself then, when a real disaster hits, FEMA is the last place I want to call. I want to keep them away. All they're going to do is get in the way. And in the drill, that's all they did was just get in everybody's way, not even understanding. They never studied up for it. They never prepared for it. They never did any of the work required that every other agency did. They just kind of showed up and became a bunch of buffoons. I decided years ago, FEMA, its only value, it's real simple. Just be a clearinghouse of resources that states may need or localities may need when they are overwhelmed with a major disaster outside of the scope of their ability to handle on their own. I learned a long time ago, emergency management is built on relationships. At the local level, I knew all the various agencies to which I could depend upon. People that I could pick up the phone and call, and they'd be sending assistance in just moments. They'd be on the way. And if it was going to be super overwhelming, and we never had that anything of that nature, we needed some state help one time just for relocating people. But something of a magnitude of what hit Western North Carolina, yeah, you need your state and federal resources. And all FEMA needs to be doing is making sure that they can find the bulldozers, they can find the equipment, they can find the bottled water, they can find all of the stuff and generators that people need to get through this during the recovery process and stay in D.C. and stay out of the way. That's the best they can do. So get rid of 90% of your employees and just be there to backfill financially and backfill in terms of supplies and food and necessities that the state may be running low on. That's it. That's all FEMA should be. They shouldn't manage anything because they cannot manage anything. They're incapable of managing anything. They're buffoonish. They're foolish. They're stupid. They're dumb. I've dealt with them firsthand. I can remember them sitting in their big, massive, monstrous truck that they pulled in with that could seat like 50 people around this conference table, and five people were sitting in there just twiddling their thumbs, doing nothing during this entire drill, and then they left a day and a half early because they didn't know what to do. So no, we don't. FEMA is just it's an appendage. It's like it needs to go. It's worthless. It's a junky agency. It's one of the first ones that need to be either stripped or overhauled or disposed of. Take your choice. that and the Department of Education. Those two ought to just be chopped on day one. And then the FBI needs to be dismantled on day one. We need to find out the traitors in the CIA day one if Trump should win. And once again, don't think that it's in the bag. I'm taking you back where we started 4 years ago. What I am not going to do after this election is continue another 4 years of what I've just done. I'm done. There's no need anymore. If Kamala Harris wins and Democrats take or keep the Senate, then we are getting what we have deserved as an ungodly people that have allowed certain things to occur and have not paid attention, have not done what God has called us to do, and we're going to get what we deserve. And this program will have to change focus to equip the church underground. You know, the church is going to be starting to be hated more than it ever has been hated before. If Kamala Harris wins, religious freedom will become a thing of the past. You don't believe me? You won't be able to say anything bad about abortion anymore. I mean, they're already talking. In some countries, they want to put you in jail for 5 or 10 years for hate speech online. Somebody very angry made a post on Facebook. He's a libertarian and he's known to make over-the-top comments. And the FBI comes to visit him, wearing their fascist casual clothing that day. And they come up there and they don't really want to identify themselves. They don't want to be videotaped. Of course not. Because they are breaking the law in what they were doing, in my opinion. This was somebody's political speech. Never threatening anybody unless you really want to stretch it. And so two FBI agents show up, fire those agents, let them work for the sanitation department picking up crap on the roads. I don't care. Just get them out of the government. We don't need those kind of fascists in the government. We don't need the FBI, the Fascist Bureau of Investigation, the Gestapo of the Democrat Party. We don't need them anymore. The FBI was bought into being on a presidential executive order. It could be taken out the same way. And I really think that everybody on the 7th floor of the Justice Department building needs to be fired and needs to be forbidden from working in government again until there's a full investigation of their treasonous actions. And I think many of them have committed treason. So, I mean, I've spent all this time for 4 years, over 4 years, warning you about the pandemic lies, warning you about election integrity, warning you about the leftist tirade to take over education, your children, and destroy the family. A lot of you get it. But we're not really getting any, I'm not getting any new converts. I'm realizing more and more that as I look at the correspondence, oh yeah, I mean, I get an occasional listener that happens to hear me and go, oh, you're one of those conspiracy theory guys, you know, one of those crazy people. Yeah, and you're voting for Kamala Harris? A certifiable idiot, a moron who has word salads. And this is the best, you know, your Trump derangement syndrome is just, you know, showing. I don't consider Donald Trump a god. I don't consider him even a savior. I just consider him to be a person, let's put it this way, better equipped than Kamala Harris to lead this nation in these very turbulent times. And these times are turbulent, especially with China. I read an article the other day. I'm just kind of sharing my thoughts in this first segment here. China's not doing as well as some people think. Unemployment among young Chinese is very high, like 20%. And they have an aging population because they have had this zero population growth thing going on where they dispose of young women by abortion. And so to try to control their population, and now they've kind of a reaping an undesired side effect. There's like nobody in the working age group anymore, not many of them. China puts on a great front. So did the Soviet Union in the 1980s. They were going broke and they were crumbling from within. They were deteriorating from inside. So the Berlin Wall comes down, and then within, what, a year and a half, the entire Soviet Union collapses, and the Russian Federation is born in 1992. Communism can never sustain itself. Never has, and it never will. you just have a group of people, the haves, and then you got a lot of have-nots. And even in 1989, you know, Tim Walz loves China. He lied about where he was at in 89, but still, the Chinese were really, they were done with communism, but there was just not enough of them to have the power to make a change. And it goes back to an article that I read several years back, somebody that lived in East Germany back in the 60s and 70s. They were like in their teens. Person's around 80 years of age now, but remembers it well, how they'd hear these loud knocks on the door and the sound of cleats that were on their boots and shoes to make a lot of noise in the hallways as they'd bang on the door. These Stasi agents, these secret police, these Gestapo types, 2 o'clock in the morning, banging on a door and taking somebody away that you would never see again. And they'd come to these apartment buildings, particularly in East Berlin and other cities, and just take a person away. People were in fear. They could be next. They were very careful in what they would say and do because they were afraid that everything they were saying was being recorded or monitored or somebody was spying on them. Turns out, as one guy said, there were so many more of us than there ever were of them. And in that apartment complex, had the people come out of their doors and overwhelmed those Stasi guards and dispatched with them, the other guards may have come, and after a while they'd give up. There wouldn't be enough. There was more people yearning to be free than those that wanted to keep them in bondage. And that's what we have in the United States, I really believe, right now. The leftists of this country are doing everything they can to negatively influence the election. They are doing everything they can, screaming misinformation, disinformation. We need to arrest and jail people that say things that we don't like. The founding fathers are spinning in their graves. This was never intended in the United States. But only a fascist, a communist, and an anti-God individual would stand up and say, we must tell you what you're allowed to think and do and say. And increasingly, even judges are beginning to say parts of the scripture are hate speech. We need to get God out of the public square, need to hide you Christians away because you're just dangerous freaks. And so I debate, what direction do I take in about a month from now? After we get past election week and that week, where do we pick up on the second week in November? Where do we start? What should we discuss? What should we do? And once again, a lot of it depends on hurricane damage at WRMI, which is the primary radio station that broadcast this program. There could be issues. We don't know yet. As I record this, it is hard to say. You may be hearing this program, for all I know, on Thursday night, or maybe Thursday afternoon before the storm really gets in. And Friday, there may be no power. We just don't know. Time will tell. And I know we're on WTWW, and we'll probably continue to do that, but I'm going to reassess a lot of things over the next week or so as we decide, you know, what to do with this program and the direction it goes. I really think that God is just leading me to stop being just a secular newsman. I mean, I've got some stories that, yeah, I'm going to share in a few minutes, but I think that it's time to prepare the church. Too many people look at church as just a thing that I do when it's convenient. I get really fed up with people. I really do. Yeah, I'm going to come to your church. And then, well, you know, Sunday morning came and we decided to go down and look at some gardening supplies over down at Lowe's. Or we decided to make a trip over to the Pinnacle down in, you know, in Tennessee. It's a big shopping center. It opens early. And we just wanted a day of shopping and fun. And they get so used to doing it that after they're gone here, there, and then they're gone for good. I mean, they've made their choice is what they're telling me. And their choice is God is not important to me, so why should I bother? That's what it tells me. And too many Christians today are taking that attitude, or they think they're Christians. They're Christians in name only. They're not serving the cause of Christ. And so I need to realize what the Bible says is true. There's going to be a remnant church. Oh, we got a lot of church buildings all around us. And a lot of them have gone apostate. They've rejected the gospel. They're preaching and celebrating sin. They're not a church. They're not a church at all. They are, as the Bible calls it, a synagogue of Satan, period. And they're parading around in their fancy vestments with their music in there and their beautiful stained glass windows. And you have other churches that have gone into just entertainment venues. Like I said, I was reading at a small church website, this guy, you know, this group. And I belong to these groups to observe more than anything else. And this one guy said, it's just so hard to feel the Holy Spirit if you don't have a working smoke machine and a light show. They really wrote that. They really believe it. Without their silly smoke machine and their you know, multicolored light show, the Holy Spirit just can't function. The power of the Holy Spirit can far exceed your silly light show and your stupid smoke machine. You really need to rethink what you're teaching and preaching, because you're not preaching the Word of God if that's what you really believe. You're just an entertainment venue. No more, no less, with a nonprofit status. The time has come for true believers to gather in spirit and in truth. It is time for real believers to come to the understanding that things are not going to get better. We are not going to vote for people and fix America and the world and make it godly, and we can have it all cleaned up in time for Jesus to come. That's not going to happen. It's going to continue to disintegrate and go downhill as we get closer to his second coming. I know a lot of you, we may differ on how all this end times play out. I'll just simply leave it at this. Vance Havner, a man I have had a great respect for in his day. As he was getting older, he comes out of a Baptist persuasion. And somebody said, so are you a pre-tribber, or this or that or the other? You know, are you a pre-millennialist? Are you a post-millennialist? What are you? And he just looked with a little gleam in his eye. He was probably in his 70s when he said this. He goes, I'm a pan-millennialist. And somebody said, I never heard of that one. What does it mean? It'll all pan out in the end as God sees fit. I don't waste my time on a lot of the mechanics of Jesus' second coming. He's got that figured out. He doesn't need any of my advice or input or help. And I don't need to think that I need to understand all of it myself. St. Paul says we see through a glass dimly, but we'll understand it when it happens. And that's all I need to know. All I need to know is my primary job is to live the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. That's what I need to be doing. And too many churches are busy with programs, this, that, and the other. Are they really doing the work of mission? Are they really doing the work that God has called us to do? I think we've come to that point in this program that the changes are going to come. I feel it. There's no sense, you know, I've been the watchman on the wall for 4 years like many others. And I've been declaring it, and people are just walking by and ignoring it. And so now, as this watchman, I need to focus to those that God has sent my way to prepare them for the things to come. My fervent prayer is that we get a bit of a respite in this election. That maybe we get 2 to 4 years to bolster the church and prepare it for the negative and horrible things that are going to be coming down the pike. They're inevitable. And too many Christians are unprepared. Too many Christians are, shall we say, they know a handful of Bible verses, but they never read the Bible. They never study the scriptures. And too many are going to churches today where they get entertained by wonderful music and a little pep talk with a little side of Jesus, and that's not enough. Or they're in an apostate church where they're being told your sin is just wonderful before God. Celebrate it and do more. Apostate churches. And the Bible says it'll only be a remnant when that day comes. So do I continue doing the news? I'll share a couple of stories right after we take this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. One thing I want to share with you while I have a moment. We've been having an issue with one of our podcast providers that we've been using for a number of years. And I'm finding it deeply troubling. The service is called PodPoint. And I signed up with them specifically 3 years ago because they were apparently a Christian podcast organization for both audio and video. And I thought it would be in good keeping to be a good steward to use them if possible. And so we've been paying every month for their services. Well, over the past 10 days, there have been a lot of issues in uploading programs and a lot of failures and a lot of troubles and things that are supposed to work that are not working that had worked well for years. And I verified it is not on my end at all. I've used other computers and it's the same issue. I've notified them of the problem. I have sent 4 requests for service, and at least at the time of doing this recording, after a week, I have had 0 response. And so I've got to really rethink where we are. I know that we use Spotify, and I know it's distributed to a lot of other platforms. Now, by doing what I've done, I've kind of shared it out in multiple locations, and if I should terminate the one, it could have a domino effect for some of you listening as a podcast. Now, I'm not going to make any changes immediately, but I think in the next week or so, if they cannot resolve their problem, we're going to rethink everything we do in terms of the podcast and how we control it, where it is hosted, and how it is distributed to everybody. And so I'm looking for people that are better experts on podcasts than I am to kind of guide me through this process. Now that I've had this ongoing issue that apparently my current host does not want to respond. So there's issues. And those issues, I believe, are very serious. So just so you're aware that we do have this ongoing issue on the podcast side. And so I'm praying we can get it fixed and even rethink the entire podcast plan going forward. One of my real fears is, and this is just a good example, what if one of my primary places decided they don't like Truth to Ponder anymore? The content, oh, we don't like what you have to say. You got hate speech there, and they just pull the plug. And all the episodes just vanish. And all the downstream places you hear it, like Google Podcast, Amazon, and others, vanish as well. You see the problem that I have. And so trying to come up with a way to have better control going forward, even if it is pushed out elsewhere, you need to always know at some point you can always return to the website to find out the current places to sign up and make changes if you start having issues on a podcast. So we'll let you know more about that as days go by. I will keep trying to find out what is wrong and why they're not responding. Something is not right. But regardless, we will take care of it. And I'm aware of some of the issues that we're having. Some of the dates don't even look right on the podcast now because of their errors. And it's just, it's making a nightmare for me in getting the program out in a timely manner. Just so you know. So with that said, I want to move into a couple of other stories. A lot of people have been, you know, I'm looking at 3 different stories here. And a lot of people are sharing these stories. Is the world, are the globalists controlling the weather? Are they creating these hurricanes? Did they design the hurricane to come into swing states like Georgia and North Carolina and cause a disruption? What about this one hitting Florida? Is this HAARP? Is this, I'm listening to all of these people about, is this some secret, super secret government plot? And the question and the answer is, I don't know. A lot of people say, well, I know that it's true. Well, how do you know it? Because I'm looking, or I read it on this website or that place or another. With what I do, I cannot take a chance of sharing something with you that may not be true. I ran across an old newspaper story. It goes back to 1962. And it was entitled, Can Man Control the Weather? And remember, this is the Kennedy years, and people were wondering, could we actually ever control the weather? Because if we could, it would change the face of warfare. There are those that said we were seeding thunderstorms and rainstorms in Vietnam back in the late 60s and early 70s. And perhaps that is true. Do we have the technology to steer a hurricane? I cannot answer that. People will say, well, maybe it's 5G. No, it isn't. That I can tell you. Please, don't go there with me on 5G. 90% of what people tell me about 5G is total garbage, nonsense, and stupidity, idiocy, and you don't know what you're talking about, so just sit down and come back to me when you get your degree in electronic engineering. Then we'll have a discussion about 5G. Until then, you sound like a bunch of buffoons with your 5G nonsense, controlling your mind and reading your thoughts and all of it. stop pretending you understand all this sci-fi nonsense. And that's all it is. You're just making crap up, and people are getting rich writing garbage junk stories. And I understand what the technology is. I've been inside of many a cell phone site. Believe me, I have. I know what goes on in there. You don't. So stop insulting my intelligence or anybody with above a room temperature IQ with what you think you know about 5G. Now, I may have just lost a listener. And if you want to go live in your ignorance, just go wallow in it and enjoy it. But don't drag me into it. HARP, I've tried to figure out its real purpose. It hits in the HF spectrum, like shortwave radio. So I'm trying, and someone said, "Whoa, there's a patent out there. This guy is. I was going to put these signals into the air, and I'm going to do that." You know, yeah. And I've seen the patents. There are hundreds of patents to control the weather. There are also thousands of patents for, are you ready for this, perpetual motion machines. Have you ever seen one? If you look at the blueprint, can you make one work? But they got a patent on it. So, you know, just because somebody applied for a patent doesn't mean much of anything. I mean, you can apply for a patent for anything. Yeah, I got a patent here for a pill that cures common baldness, cancer, and bad breath all in one. Well, does it work? Well, I don't know, but I've got a patent. So I'm just trying to help you here to not jump into every rabbit hole that's out there. Could weather be controlled? Anything's in the realm of possibility. Do I have proof that it is? I do not know. And as such, and I cannot confirm. I'll just say, could it be done? Perhaps. But then I want to remind you that what we're seeing with these storms is not that unprecedented. I remember when I first moved to Venice, Florida, way back in the 1990s. There was an older gentleman that lived on our street that I just happened to meet one afternoon. He was a retired individual from, you know, the Weather Service back in the day. You know, he goes way back to like, he went back to like World War II doing weather forecasting, like for D-Day and stuff. And he'd retired and living. And I said, "Well, why did you choose here?" You know, he said, "Well, from a hurricane point of view, this is the place where the hurricanes hit about once every 80 to 100 years. And he said, "And when it comes, it's going to be pretty massive." But he said, "And it's been so many years." So he said, "It'll be another 20 to 30 years before we ever have a big one here." And he said, "By that time, I'll be like over 100 and gone." And so that's why he chose to live there. He said, you know, just looking statistically, the way everything shapes up, he said, they do form and they can happen, but he said, it's like your 100-year storm, your 100-year flood, and what happened in North Carolina, the 500-year flood. Even in the 1700s, you know, Newfoundland, there was a hurricane that hit North Carolina, killed over 4,000 people with a 30-foot storm surge. That was in the late 1700s. And then in Newfoundland, there was deaths from a massive storm there. Hurricane of 1776 in Guadalupe killed 6,000. 1780, there was one that killed 22,000 people, probably a top-line Cat 5. 1998, Hurricane Mitch was a Cat 5 that hit Honduras. 12,000 died. Hurricane Fifi in 1974 was only a Cat 3, but claimed 10,000 lives from the rains and the floods in Honduras. Early 20th century, Galveston, that Texas town, 12,000 people lost their lives and 4,000 homes were leveled. Florence, 63, 7,000. There was an Okeechobee hurricane in Florida less than 100 years ago. It was a Cat 5 in Okeechobee, and it claimed 4,000 lives, just so you know. And these are just a few out of hundreds of massive hurricanes. There seems to be a cycle. I can remember the global warming crowd trying to convince me back in 2005 that, you know, it's all over when Katrina hit. It's going to be every year we're going to have, you know, 2 to 5 or 10 massive hurricanes slamming the United States. And then we had 10 years of nothing, not a one. and then it peaks up and down. It must be man-made global warming, Bob, and CO2 in your car and your gas stove, that you're causing it. And yet nobody talks about the solar activity of the sun that comes in cycles, and right now it's really high. Nobody talks about under the sea volcanoes that are literally throwing tons or, you know, trillions of gallons of moisture into the atmosphere worldwide, and even warming the waters in those warm current zones that come around. Yeah, there's something going on. But it's not my gas stove. Trust me on that. And CO2 is heavier than air anyway, so I'm not sure how you make a greenhouse effect. But they will use these disasters to try to tell you how to live your life. I wonder what Tampa will be like after the storm. You may be hearing this and the storm has already come and gone. It may be in the middle of the state when you hear it. It may have already left on the east coast of Florida when you hear it. I've got family on the west coast and the east coast. And right now as I record this, of course, I'm deeply concerned for their safety. I don't know how to put it any other way. I mean, I probably need to, even in the changes that I want to make, yeah, we'll look at a few news stories to remind us of the deterioration of our society, the transgenderism agenda, and how demonic it really is. All of it, abortion, climate change, all of this is demonic and satanic in its origin. Worship the earth, not the creator of the earth. Abortion makes your life better. It's not a sin to kill a baby in the womb, even though I've explained, even John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb in the presence of Jesus, who is also in his mother's womb. And you're going to tell me that God thinks it's just fine and dandy that you rip a child out and kill it destructively and painfully? It's an abomination. It is demonic. And yet you have one party pushing for abortion, transgenderism, and climate change. That's all they've got. They're worshiping three demons, old pagan gods. They don't worship the God of the Bible anymore. They are worshiping pagan gods that are nothing but demons. And many churches get into all this social justice silliness at the expense of proclaiming, teaching, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can I put it any other way to you? The church is getting ready to go into a real, well, I think we're going to be pushed underground. I mean, the true church. I mean, if you want to be an apostate church like the United Methodist or an Episcopal church or an Evangelical Lutheran church in America and celebrate gayness and pride flags, yeah, you'll be accepted by the world because you are doing the evil the world desires, and you're doing the evil the demons that are leading your church are desiring. And if you're an entertainment church, you'll probably survive too, because you're not really persuading anybody in one direction or the other. But if you proclaim the true gospel, if you call out the synagogues of Satan for what they are, if you proclaim, you'll be hated for the sake of the gospel is what you are promised. None of this prosperity silliness from the likes of, you know who they are. I'm not going to even name their names. These are repulsive individuals. Get wealthy in Jesus' name. Just send me money and I'll make, and sow a seed here with as for your faith and I'll make you wealthy. It doesn't work. It just doesn't. It makes them wealthy, but not you. So I don't deal with, I don't even bother to waste my time with those buffoons. I just won't do it anymore. They're false teachers, false preachers. I've said 1,000 times, you know, I mean, I debate with the podcast. Some people say, maybe you ought to have a commercial break. Maybe I will. I may not get anything out of it, but it may expand it. I don't know. We'll talk about that maybe next week or the week after. I'm still having to deal with some major decisions in the direction of Truth to Ponder. But I believe equipping the saints is one of them. I know here locally, we're launching our little radio station, and hopefully in a couple of weeks, it'll be online where you can hear traditional music and some teaching, and it'll be free. I'm debating, you know, what to do with a Roku TV channel and even expanding it to other forms. I have people that are wanting to produce some things, and maybe you know people that need a platform. You know, I'm trying to come up with ways to teach and prepare the church and to build up the body as a program a friend of mine is getting ready to produce for, you know, in a video form, a teaching program. We need to build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is weak, malnourished. It doesn't get into the word. It is lost touch with what the early apostles have done. You know, one of my listeners said you need to, when you make a change in the program, you need to start opening up each episode with prayer. And I think that after we make the change, and there's going to have to be a change going forward. And I think you'll benefit from it too. We will open each program in prayer. And on that note, I want to share something that I ran across a few weeks ago. I've been saving it for a special occasion. We've all heard of the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus spoke it, he spoke it in Aramaic, which was the language that Jesus spoke in his day. Here is the Lord's Prayer sung in Jesus' language of Aramaic. When I first heard this, it was very haunting. And then to think this is the same exact language that Jesus spoke. And here the words that are recorded in the Bible are sung or chanted, the Lord's Prayer. And I hope it was a blessing for you to hear today. You may have noticed in recent days that I closed the program with the same music. And in case you don't recognize the melody, it is called Built on the Rock, The Church Doth Stand. And I wanted to share one of the verses. Built on the rock, the church doth stand, even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land. Bells still are chiming and calling, calling the young and old to rest. But above all, the souls distressed, longing for rest everlasting. One day next week, I'll share more about that particular hymn and why it has always meant so much to me. and really it is determining the direction of this program. We need to equip the church, the body of Christ, in these very uncertain and definitely changing times. It's not the same world I grew up in 50, 60 plus years ago. It's a different world today. We need to be prepared. Just like when hurricanes hit, you have to have certain preparations to survive and get out of harm's way when needed. The church is going to have to rethink its purpose and its plan on sharing the gospel that we are commanded to share. And that's where this program is heading. If you believe in our mission and our ministry, would you consider supporting us today for the first time? Visit our website, truth2ponder.com. You can support us from there. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.